Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 4 says, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. This is talking about the ark of the covenant in the tabernacle, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold. And then I want us to pay special attention, because this is the direction I would like to preach about what is inside the ark. Saying, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded in the tables of the covenant. Can we pray tonight, Lord? Thank you for the privilege to be in your house, and thank you for your word. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts from your word. We humbly ask for your anointing tonight, Lord, and your strength. I pray that you help us, Lord. We give you praise, Lord, for the privilege to know you and to know your name. Meet us in these altars, we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's go to, if you would like to follow me, I'm going to read four other places before I tell you what I want to preach about. So first, let's go to Exodus chapter 16. And verse number 33. The Bible says, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot, put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. So you can see my connection here. The Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. So there's that golden pot of manna that Hebrews is telling us, which is in the ark. Numbers chapter 17, verse number, what has happened here is they've had great conflict on who was in control, and Moses had a lot of things happened. A plague had broke loose and everything, and God told him, said, bring Aaron's rod, bring a rod from every tribe, and the tribe of Levi write Aaron's name on it, and said, bring it in before the Lord. And it came to pass, verse 8 in Numbers 17, came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds. Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels. Thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me that they die not. And Moses did so. As the Lord commanded him, so did he. So there we have the second. Amen. The pot of manna is in the ark. And now we have the rod. The ark was less than 4 feet long. And probably most of y'all know this, but it was less than 4 feet long. And so some people have thought, well, how could Aaron's rod be in the Ark of the Covenant inside, because it was like a box, and three things was inside that Ark of the Covenant. But if you notice here, God told him to make a rod, and so it could have been like a walking stick. A normal walking stick is about 3 foot or maybe 3.5 foot, which would easily fit inside there. And so they made a rod. Every one of them, you know, made the rod and brought. And so that's how that it was able to get how it fit inside the Ark of the Covenant. Deuteronomy chapter 10. I'm going to get there in just a minute. I guess I read all these scriptures. I'll either preach a real long time or actually just preach just for a little while. And I want to get these scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 5. And I turned myself and came down from the mount and put the tables in the ark, which I had made, and there they be as the Lord commanded me. So these three scriptures line up with Hebrews chapter 4. These three different scriptures line up with Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 4 that tell us what is inside the ark of the covenant. In Hebrews chapter 9, there's three things inside the ark of the covenant, and that is the manna, the golden pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and then the tables of stone that Moses had made and God had written on. Now I got one more scripture I'd like for you to turn and read with me, and that is in 1 Kings chapter 8. Solomon has built the temple. 1 Kings chapter 8, and let's start reading in verse number 6. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 6. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, unto the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark, and the staves thereof above. They drew out the staves, that the end of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. Verse 9, I want you to pay attention to verse 9, because this is the part of our message. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone that which Moses put at Horeb. Now, we read very plainly, y'all, I read all those scriptures. There was three things in that ark. But this scripture right here, when Solomon made the temple, they tell us there was only one thing in that ark, and that was the tables of stone. Now I want to tell y'all one more thing before I tell you what I want to preach. The Ark of the Covenant, now there's 500 years has passed, 5 centuries. Not 5 years, not 5 months, 500 years has passed from Solomon's temple and Moses' day. Alright? And the Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines. Y'all remember when Dagon fell down before the Ark of the Covenant? When Eli died, Eli was 98 years old, and he's sitting up there, and they took the Ark down there because Israel was being sold into the hand of their enemies because of their sins. And the Bible tells us that that's when Ichabod was born. You know, Eli's daughter-in-law gave birth to that child, and there was great distress because the ark of God was taken. And I can't prove it. I don't know. But for the sake of this message tonight, I'm going to preach on what the world doesn't want. The world will take the manna. The world will take the rod that blossoms, but the world don't want the commandments. The Bible tells us that the Philistines stole that ark. And not only that, now whether the Philistines took it, or they came into an area there of Kadesh Barnea, a southern part of Israel, a northern part of Judah's territory, and the Bible says that he killed over 50,000 of them because they looked into the ark. And so it could have been them there, some of them there that stole this, but somewhere between the tabernacle and the temple, there's two things that go missing. Amen. And Hebrews tells us very plainly. Now, Hebrews is not dealing with the temple. Hebrews is dealing with the tabernacle. And Hebrews tells us very plainly that there was three things. Did y'all read that with me? I'm glad y'all read with me or listening, because I don't want y'all to think I'm making this up. Amen. There was three things in that ark, wasn't there? Amen. And also I read where they put them there. The Bible says that God said, you take that manna, and tell Aaron to take that manna and put it up before the testimony. And the Bible says that when Aaron's rod budded, he said, take that rod and put it in to the before the testimony, which is the Ark of the Covenant. And the Bible tells us that Moses come down from that mountain, amen, with those tables of stone, and he said, I put them tables in the ark. Amen. But I want you to know something. The world don't want the commandments. Amen. They'll take the manna, the providence of God. Amen. I know people, they want God to meet their needs. They want God to touch them. They want God to touch their finances. They want God to feed them. They want God to take care of them. Come on, church. Y'all with me tonight? But when it comes to those testimonies, man, we don't need them. I mean, you imagine them Philistines digging in that ark, or whoever it was that stole them. They thought, man, look at what we found. Well, why didn't they take the tables of stone? Why didn't they steal them? Why didn't they take the Ten Commandments? They was written with the finger of God. Amen. I'm telling you what, this is the most valuable thing in the ark, the Word of God. Amen. But we live in the same day and hour, and mankind, they want all the blessings of God. Come on, church. We want all of God's blessings and all of God's anointing. That rod of Aaron's blossoming and bringing forth almonds was a sign of the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Amen. God's approval and God's anointing. Amen. Upon this man. And we want the anointing and we want the blessings, but do we want the commandments? There was three things in the ark. The ark was in the Philistines' control for 7 months. The Bible says it was there for 7 months. Y'all remember that story where Dagon fell down, they went back and set him back up? Who would serve a God that couldn't even get up on his own self? Get up by himself. They had to set him up. They come back in the next day. He fell down again before the ark of God. And the Bible said his palms, amen, was broke off. Right at his hands was broke off and his head was broke off. They set him back up and they sent the ark, amen, after God brought a great plague upon the Philistines. They took two cows who had young calves. Have you ever tried to take a mama cow away from her calf? Amen. They took those cows from, they had young calves, and they put that ark on a cart, and they left the calves back here, and those mama cows took off, and the Bible said lowing as they went. Amen. But God was taking them back. Amen. And those lords of the Philistines was watching. They said, if God really, amen, in this, I know, amen, he'll take it back. And the Bible said when they came there, amen, into that southern part of Israel, amen, that the people there rejoiced when they saw the ark of God. Amen. But God's not a toy to play with. Amen. The Bible said that they was, amen, doing things they shouldn't do. And God was, amen, putting a plague upon them. Amen. And they sent it on to somebody else. Amen. Because, amen, God was judging them. I'm going to preach tonight simply on what the world don't want. The world don't want the commandments. Now, if I wasn't afraid y'all get mad at me tonight, I'd preach on what the worldly church don't want. Amen. But we live in a day and hour where it's all so watered down. Amen. Give us the manna. Give us the manna. Give us the manna. Let that ark blood. Give us some almonds. Give us this. Give us that. But come on, let's go through the Ten Commandments. Amen. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Hallelujah. Thou shalt make unto thee any graven image. Amen. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I mean, people use God's name in vain. Amen. Just spurt it out. Amen. Just because you put Lee with it don't mean it's right. The Bible said God will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. We get so free speech, we just spurt off words and curse and say things. And God's not going to hold us guiltless. Amen. If we take the name of the Lord God in vain. Amen. I don't have no new message tonight. This is the Ten Commandments. Church, amen, right on down through the line. But I'm going to tell you, they didn't want that. They'll gladly take the manna. They'll gladly take the almond branch.
amen, that's blossoming and blooming. God, meet my needs. God, bless me. God, help me. Amen. But we don't want, amen, that touch of God in our life that changes our direction. Amen. God gave them those commandments, and I want to go to a couple scriptures where God gave it to us. Amen. And look at that, and then I'll be done. I've already taken a lot of time just to get started. But in Exodus, when God, amen, gave these tables of stone unto Moses, the Bible said in Exodus chapter 31 and verse number 18, he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Amen. So I want you to pay attention to that, the finger of God. And then the Bible tells us in Exodus 32 and verse 16, the tables were the work of God. Pay attention to that. The work of God, and the writing was the writing of God. Hallelujah. Pay attention to the writing of God. Amen. I want to preach about, amen, what the world doesn't want. Amen. And what we can have. We can have something written with the finger of God. You think about the finger of God. You know what the finger does? You ever point that finger at somebody? Point that finger at your children, or point that finger at your grandchildren. Point that finger at somebody. Amen. The finger of God is what wrote these tables. Amen. The tables were the work of God. Amen. We didn't make this stuff up. It wasn't a bunch of heads got together and said, well, let's make some commandments. And you know, sometimes that's not a bad thing, but this ain't what happened. Amen. It wasn't written by man. The Word of God was not written by man. It was written by men that was moved on by the Holy Ghost. And why would the world want the commandments? I mean, this is the most valuable thing in the ark. The Bible says the finger of God. I think about how people mock the commandments. Amen. How they just go on and act like there is no commandments. Amen. But God made those commandments, and they're everlasting. And we must pay attention to them. Amen. We must pay attention to what God says. Talk about the finger of God. I know y'all heard that story. Well, Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, is sitting there in the temple or in the palace. Amen. And the hand, just a hand, come out and begin to write on that wall. What was it? Meeny, meeny, Tekel, Euphrates, or something like that. It's in the Hebrew. Amen. And what it says is, your days have been counted, and you've been numbered. Amen. And that Babylonian king, he got so shook up when that hand, just a hand, come over on the wall and begin to write on the wall. I'm talking about the finger of God was placing judgment upon that king. And amen, the queen, who was the queen? Hallelujah. Thank God for the queen. She said, oh king, live forever. There's a man in your kingdom. His name is Daniel. Amen. He's got a good spirit about him. Call him. Daniel, come in. He said, I'll give you everything if you can just read that. The others couldn't read what God's finger had wrote. Daniel said, keep your gifts to yourself. He said, but I'll tell you what it says. He said, your days are numbered. Amen. And you're going to be, you have found wanting, weighed in the balance and found wanting. I wonder if God put us on the scale tonight. Amen. Where would he find us? Would he find us lacking in what we need? Amen. He said, I want to preach you a message first, Belshazzar. Let me preach to you. He said, your father Nebuchadnezzar, amen, God gave him all these things and blessed him. He said, and God took it from him, and he went out for 7 years. Amen. And God humbled him and brought him back and restored him to his kingdom. Y'all know the story. His hair grew like bird's feathers. Amen. His claws grew like an eagle's claws. He ate grass like a wild beast. He was the ruler of the world. But God humbled him for 7 years. And not only did God humble him, God gave him back everything. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, I want to tell you something, Belshazzar. You knew all of this. And yet you still, in all of your pride, would not humble yourself before God. The finger of God wrote on that wall. I'm talking about the finger of God wrote on these tables of stone. You know, we need the finger of God to write in our hearts. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, I want to read y'all some scriptures. Amen. I hope the Lord will help us tonight. Amen. This is something that's been burning on my heart for a couple weeks. Amen. I want to tell you something, young people. You can't just have the blessings of God. You gotta have the commandments too. Amen. Hallelujah. They want the manna and they want the almonds, but they don't want the tables of stone in the ark. Amen. I want to tell you something tonight. Amen. Talking about the finger of God. Amen. Psalms 8 says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Amen. The finger of God. Hallelujah. What's that song? How great thou art. Amen. When I go through the wood, the mountains and wander. Amen. What does it say? And through the woods and see the brooks and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. I was talking to these young people the other day that's in, amen, school, talking about, you know, they got these theories, these bang theories, you know, and that's all it is. It's a theory. It's an idea. Amen. But science proves that there's a God if we'll be willing to, amen, accept it. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to be willing to humble yourself before God. It says, how great thou art. When I walk through the woods, amen, and see all these things, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. You can walk out of this door, amen, and look around you, and you can see the work of the finger of God. Amen. God's finger work. Amen. I'm talking about God's finger has been a work. He took his finger and drug it right across North America. Amen. Let's let the Mississippi run right there. He took his finger and dug it right down in Arizona. Amen. Said, let's put the Grand Canyon right there. Amen. He took his finger. Amen. And he threw out the stars. And he calls them every day by name. I want to tell you something, young people. Amen. There's a God who has fingers. There's a God who wrote tables of stone with his own finger and said, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie or bear false witness. Thou shalt not steal. Amen. Honor your father and your mother. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Amen. You know, young people, God's finger wrote that. That's what the world doesn't want. Hallelujah. We can have it tonight. Amen. Those stole it. Amen. You read it in Hebrews, talking about the tabernacle. There's three things in the ark. Amen. But you read it there in the temple. Amen. Hundreds of years later, there's only two things, really one thing. Two tables of stone. Why didn't they want those tables of stone, Brother Adolph? I'll tell you why. Because it causes you to live right. It causes you to walk right. It causes you to spit white. Y'all still with me? Amen. I'm talking about changing our life in a way that we're not the same people. The Word of God. I've heard about people in foreign lands who didn't have a Bible. I was reading about this very popular man back in the 1800s. And he was laughing because there's a little church, brother, that this man got up and said he felt like God told him that the day would come where people would travel 40 miles an hour. Well, it was just a small church there in England. And this preacher got up and said he felt like God told him that the day would come that people would be able to travel at a speed of 40 miles an hour or greater. Man, there's a local college there, and this professor got a hold of that. They made a mockery of that church. Made such a mockery of that preacher. Made such a disgrace of everything. Come on, church. Even this professor, he said, science proves that if you travel more than 40 miles an hour, I don't care what you're in, you'll suffocate. You can't even breathe. My Lord, we laugh about it. I mean, we travel at hundreds of miles an hour, thousands of miles an hour. Amen. In jets and all of that. But God, amen, had wrote it in His Word that men would travel to and fro. And this preacher got so engulfed in the Word of God, he said, according to Daniel chapter 12 and verse whatever, he said, men are going to travel at a fast speed. And he said, I believe God showed me it'll be 40 miles an hour greater. And that professor made such a mockery of him. And I want to tell you, they may make a mock of you for living for God and living holiness. Amen. But God's finger is what wrote these commandments.
Amen.
Thou shalt not steal. Hallelujah. I told y'all when I was a young boy, I was working on a yard. And this lady had this old iron. I may have told it recently, I don't know. But it was like an old, you know, like an old iron, just like one piece. And I saw it a couple of times, we was mowing yards. And I saw it, and I picked it up. Stuck it in the truck. Took it home. And went on, I don't even know what happened to that thing. It was gone. I have no idea. But I know I was already pastoring here. And I got to... God, every time I'd pray, God would say, you're going to have to make it right where you stole that iron. I'm telling y'all, I took my big old self all the way to Oklahoma, hunted this house down. I couldn't even find it. I went several roads around, finally found it. I'm telling you, I'm a grown man. I felt like I was going to a shooting or something. I was scared to death. You try to live right and see if the devil don't jump on you, sister. The devil is not giving up. I walked up there and I knocked on that door. And you know, I'm going to be all tough and everything. I said, you know, her name was Mills, Mary Mills. You Mary Mills? Yes. You don't know me now, but you'll know when I tell you who I am. And I explained, my dad's Philip Snow, blah, blah, blah. And then I got to crying. Oh, I felt so embarrassed. I said, but I stole an iron when I was a young boy from your yard. An iron? What? And then I had to explain it. Oh, don't worry. I said, hold on. Let me talk. I want you to know God has been dealing with me and I will pay you for it if you'll tell me what it's worth. By this time, she's a crying and I'm a crying. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not steal, the Bible says. Now I'm going to tell y'all the end of that story. This is all for the glory of God. Amen. She said, come in, come in. Her husband was there. He used to be the mayor of Idabel. And he was laying on a bed, a hospice bed. He's dying. Amen. And I went in there and she said, this is preacher's son, all this, you know. Here they was, upstanding citizens. You know, I mean, members of the Masonic Lodge and all of that, brother. Hallelujah. I went in there and I said, I want you to know I stole something from you. I came to make it right. That man began to cry. Amen. He said, you know my mom used to go to that holiness church. Amen. You know she used to be a tongue talker and shouter. I said, no, I didn't know it. Amen. We cried and he forgave me. I asked him to forgive me. Amen. They wouldn't let me pay it. I tried to pay for it. They wouldn't let me know. Amen. But he said, amen, would you pray for me? Amen. We prayed and the Holy Ghost came in that room, in that living room right there in Country Club Estates. Amen. I thank God for the finger of God. I thank God for the tabernacle. Amen. When God goes to writing with his finger, you gotta obey him. You gotta make it right. You gotta do what God says. Amen. The Ten Commandments was written with the finger of God. Ten Commandments was written with the finger of God. And I'm going to tell you tonight, you can walk out and look outside and see what God made with his fingers. Hallelujah. Daniel, the finger of God, wrote on the wall. And then one more time, the finger of God is mentioned in the Bible. And that is when Jesus was casting out devils. And the Bible said he cast out a devil out of a boy. Let the Holy Ghost speak to you tonight, church.
Let the Holy Ghost deal with your hearts tonight. You know what? That iron, amen, wasn't worth nothing. But I was willing to make it right. And it sure wasn't worth going to hell over. You know, preachers go to hell too. Come on. Well, say, I'm Brother Sam. Man, look at me. Look at this. Look at this. I mean, I pastor a church. Hey, if we're not right with God, we're going to stand before a God that's holy one day. But anyways, obey God, church, because you know what I believe? Not only did God clear it up with me, God saved that man. I believe God saved him right before he died. I believe it. I believe his mama's prayers was answered. Amen. Because, amen, we felt the Holy Ghost there in that room that day before he went on to glory. But the next time about the finger of God, they said he cast out a devil out of this boy. And he was dumb. He never talked. But he cast the devil out and the boy started talking. They said, man, he cast out devils through Beelzebub. In other words, the devil is casting out devils. That's blasphemy. Amen. Blasphemy. Jesus said, you blaspheme me, you blaspheme the Father or angels, you forgive, but you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you'll never be forgiven. That's where Jesus brought up, amen, and said about the sin that's never forgiven. Amen. Somebody got the Holy Ghost, don't you dare say it's the devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It might not be just the way, I mean, I've been in places, I thought, my Lord, I don't know if that's real or not. But you be careful about the Holy Ghost. Because God's not in a rut. And he can do it however he wants to do it. And if he wants somebody laughing, he can make them laugh. And if he wants somebody to cry, he can make them cry. And if he wants his spirit to make somebody jump, he can make them jump. Amen. I'm telling you, God does it, and he's not sentimental like us. You know, we do things
the same way. Always. Well, this is the way I got it, this is the way Mama got it, this is the way Grandma got it. And
I'm telling y'all tonight, I'm feeling good in my soul. The finger of God, Jesus said, if the devil cast out the devil, said, no kingdom divided against itself will stand. He said, if the devil cast out the devil, said, he would destroy himself. He said, but if I, with the finger of God, cast out the devil. Woo! You know what that lets me know? That lets me know that Jesus had the finger of God stuck right in the face of old Slewfoot. I can just see it in the spirit. I mean, the devil's there and Jesus, the Son of God, have his finger stuck right in his face. You're defeated in the name. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Amen. You can stick your finger in the devil's face and say, get out of my family. Get out of my child. Get out. He said, if I with the finger of God cast out the devil, then the kingdom of God. Amen. If I with the finger of God cast out the devil, then the finger of God. Hallelujah. If I with the finger of God cast out the devil, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. I'm talking about that same finger that wrote, thou shalt not. It's the same finger that said, get out of that boy, devil. And the devil didn't have no choice but to go. Get out of that girl, devil. And the devil didn't have no choice but to go. I'm talking about the finger of God, what the world don't want. Next off, he said the work of God. It's the work of God. I'm going to try to go through this in a hurry. Not only was it written with the finger of God, the Bible tells us that the tables of stone was the work of God. You ever made something say, man, he does such good work. Or she does such good work. Or he can draw so well. Or he can paint so well. My, he does such good work. God does good work too. Hallelujah. And he worked. The Bible said that he hewed these tables out of the rock. And God made these tables. He put number one, number one. God put number two, number two. God put number three, number three. Hallelujah. God put number 10, number 10. Amen. God stopped at number 10 and didn't put number 11. It's the work of God. It wasn't the work of Moses. It was the work of God. Amen. I want to tell you something. We're talking about God. Amen. Who knows how to work and knows how to bless and knows how to anoint. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness tonight? The Bible said in Psalms 111, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great. Does anybody know about the works of God? Hallelujah. The works of the Lord are great. Sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. I love to hear good testimonies. Amen. I love to read books, man. I've got illustration books. I've got one illustration book in there. That thing's that thick. I'm telling you, it's got everything in there you could imagine. Every kind of story and research this guy's taken. I've got another book that said 1,001 illustrations. I've got a book in there said the testimonies of the dying, saved and unsaved. Man, I love to just get those books and just read about what God's done. Hallelujah. I was reading today, amen, about how God had done different things, amen, in people's lives. I love to hear the goodness of God. The Bible said, sought out, amen, of all them that have pleasure there. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will be mindful. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity and judgment, and all his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. The works of God. Amen. I'm not talking about the works of man. I'm talking about the works of God. They're great. They're honorable. They're wonderful, the Bible says in this chapter. Amen. The Bible said they're powerful. Amen. I'm talking about a God who works in our lives. Amen. That's what the world didn't want, was the works of God. Hallelujah. I wish I could preach for a little while tonight on let him work. And let these children get up here and sing, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and precious he must be, because he's still working on me. One more before I move on to the writing of God. Psalms 139 said, amen, thou hast possessed my reins, thou covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when yet there was none of them. How precious are they? I want to tell you something. Somebody goes to the abortion clinic. Do they realize that that's the work of God? Amen. The Bible here says, thou covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. You know, we've got some expecting mothers in here. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, church. You know, sometimes people are born with disabilities. Sometimes, you know, some worse than others. But God don't make no junk. And every child, amen, was made in the image of God and the likeness of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Now I know we've got abortion clinics. And I know the sad thing about it is somehow it involves politics. But I'm not here for that, but I'm here to tell you something. Amen. The millions of babies that have been murdered, amen, in our land or all across the country, we'll stand in judgment for that one day. God judged nations for two sins, whole nations in the Bible. One was for the murder of the innocent. That can be baby or the oppressing, any type or whatever. God judged, and then for the sins of sodomy, homosexuality. And that God judged whole nations in the Bible.
Amen.
God help us tonight. Amen. And the works of God, help me, Lord. Amen. The child is being formed in the womb, and God is doing it. When God is forming that child's personality, when God is forming that child's, amen, all about that person, amen, being formed in the womb, God's doing it. It's the work of God. And not only that is the work of God, I want to tell you something else that's the work of God. Amen. Salvation is the work of God. Amen. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, not our works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has foreordained that we should walk in them. And so here was these tables of stone, amen, that they left in there. They didn't want them. Amen. Whoever it was that stole, whoever it was that took it out over those 500 years, they didn't want that was written with the finger of God. They didn't want that God had worked with His own hands. Amen. Had written with His own hands. The Bible says it was the writing of God.
You ever read after a person, you said, man, I enjoyed that book so much, I'm going to see if they ever wrote another book. I've done that before. I've got a lot of books. And I'll read somebody's book. I said, man, this is the best writer I've ever read after. And I'll go get his other book and I can't even finish it. It ain't worth reading. And I want to tell you something, church. Amen. When God writes and when God wrote on these tables of stone, amen, and God wants to write it in our hearts, God wants to write it for us. I want to read you a few verses of Scripture. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their heart, and in their minds will I write them. God will write it on our minds. God has the power to write it on our minds. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Amen. God wants to write it in our hearts. Amen. And one more scripture is found in Corinthians, where the Bible says, amen, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, and this whole chapter is really good along these lines, talking about Moses coming down, because when Moses come off of the temple, when Moses come off of the mountain, his face did shine. When Moses come and God gave him those tables of stone, amen, they had to put a veil upon his face because his face did shine. Amen. Shine like a light bulb. They couldn't even look at it. That's how powerful the Word of God is. And He said, amen, for as much as ye are manifestly declared by the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Amen. And so the Scripture here is telling us, amen, that God wrote it on tables of stone the first time. Amen. But next time God said, I'm going to write it on their hearts. Amen. And this is what the world doesn't want. They'll take the manna, they'll take the rod, but they don't want the law. God help us tonight. There's power in the Word of God, church.
The Word of God is what we need.
Hallelujah. That Ark of the Covenant, God said, put that manna in there. That manna was angels' food. It tasted like oil. Amen. Pure oil and honey. It was sweet. It was good. What a miracle to them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That rod, what a miracle.
No connected to no fruit. The next day, come out and had blossoms on it. And almonds, and was almonds coming on.
All the world wanted that. We'll take that. Why didn't they take those tables of stone out there? Because people don't want the Word. We don't want the truth. We don't want the commandments. Young people, it's not the 10 suggestions. It's the 10 commandments. Amen. It's not, hey man, well, praise God, help us today. What the world don't want, I want. I want His Word because it saves us and it delivers us and sets us free. Stand together with me tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.